This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
This week's episode of Naked is a first. It's a first live episode, and recording it was daunting and exciting in equal measure. We continue the conversation we started a few weeks ago around the role of investors and the dynamic between business builders and investors. Vlady and I start off by sharing our own personal experiences, as we are both ourselves in the middle of fundraising for our respective fintech ventures. We use this reflection to illustrate how hard it is from the very beginning of the entrepreneurial journey. Imposter syndrome, loneliness, co-founder conflict, questions around identity and access all come into this. We also discuss what it means to raise money from people who don't necessarily understand or care about the impact their position may have on the individuals, the pressures and the expectations that come with it. What can investors do to support the entrepreneurs? How much should they care? How much can they care? Where is the line between supporting and interfering? Over the last couple of years, we have seen investors starting to question and redefine their role in all of this. And we recognize that healthier founders increase the chances of the business, of the investment to succeed. This is an important topic for us at the Future Farm, and we will continue shedding a light as we are launching our Compassionate Investor Masterclass. Please visit thefuturefarm.co for more info.
Hi, Vlady.
Anyhow. Hi, Nektarios. Lovely to see you on our very, very first Naked Live. How are you today? We do our usual check-ins. Let's keep the, you know, ritual going.
And maybe for the people who are dialing in for the first time, Naked, our podcast, when we talk to either to each other or to one of our guests, we always make sure we ask people where they are and how they are. And if you'd asked me 10 minutes ago, when I actually thought I started the live stream, I was okay. And then I got a bit flustered. I'm fine. It's been a very, very turbulent few weeks. I'm at home in London, and normally there's my living room background, but because of this special occasion, we've got our beautiful Future Farm branded backgrounds. But I'm fine. Where are you? How are you?
Good to see you. Good to hear. Good to see you, but also good to hear that you're fine, because you and I, we both know that we are trying to be quite honest with each other every time when we check in and take a little while to just let it sort of sink in and really feel where we are in that moment, which I'll do. So I think I'm in this, like, I won't just say turbulent as well, but I think it's a mix of emotions. Like right now I'm quite excited because we are doing this. So that's the actual emotion. Like hour before, I was still on the wave because we just announced our fundraising. And I think it couldn't be more timely than today talking on Naked Live about the dynamic between investors and entrepreneurs. So I'll sort of share more on that. And yeah, lots of other things happening right now in life, to be honest. We arrived to Pakistan just yesterday, I think, or today, I can't really even recall. So for those of you who might not know, so I spend solid time of the year, most of my days, actually, I was counting it last time, you know, and I think it's about 85% time of the year I spend now in Pakistan. And I am here building a business. And I think that's also a little bit floating into intros, which we wanted to do. But maybe just to close the check-in, I am in, I think, in a good place, but a lot's happening. So yeah, but sort of keen to share a little bit more because it is related to what we are chatting about today.
Where in Pakistan?
I'm in Karachi, in our very new office. So that is also new. So lots of new things in life right now. So yeah, just sort of trying to navigate the excitement with also the logistics and everything that comes with it. And you were making sort of jokes before that I was sharing with you, like there's a lot happening. And whilst we also try to be quite conscious about what we are talking about, or sort of building in Future Farm, which is really that conscious and healthy entrepreneurship. So yeah, it's not easy. That I think that's the truth. But it's good to remind, you know, oneself that for sure.
Maybe
should we
maybe
do a little bit of the intros? Yes. Let's put some context to this. Like, so if you don't mind, just maybe sharing with everybody, like, what are we doing today? What's Naked? Because there might be people who don't know. And then maybe we can share a little bit more about each other.
And maybe again, for our audience, we usually don't rehearse these things. We talk a little bit about structure. So Vladi just talking to me like I'm the podcast guest was a bit of a weird one, but that's okay. Let's go ahead. We will talk a little bit about our respective backgrounds, but ultimately the Future Farm is something we set up 2.5 years ago, nearly 3 years ago, to deal with something that we both experienced, which was entrepreneurs are struggling and nobody cares. And nobody cares to dig a little bit deeper and look at what are the triggers and the causes for this. And we started with no business model, with just a desire to talk about this more, to raise awareness on the subject of mental and emotional well-being for entrepreneurs. And the first thing we did was actually launch a podcast, and the podcast is called Naked. And this is why this episode is called Naked as well. And in the podcast, we talk to primarily founders where we get them to share their stories. We want them to be as vulnerable as possible. We want them to strip down to their emotional core, hence the name. And ideally, we want them to share how they got where they got, how they experienced it, what are the signals that they saw and ignored, how did they hit rock bottom, but more importantly, also, how did they come out of it and what are the practices they apply now to be better? But we can't do this in isolation because entrepreneurs don't operate in isolation. So we also talk to other people in the ecosystem that may play a role, like investors, like practitioners, etc. Every once in a while, Vladi and I check in on each other, either to digest the previous episode or just to ultimately to check in on each other. And these sessions sometimes end up being a lot more raw and a lot more vulnerable because this becomes an element of mutual counseling and therapy.
Yes,
and it's usually very, very helpful for us. One of the things that surprised us is we found out that some people enjoy the episode between Vladi and I more than they enjoy the guest episodes, which was quite an insight. But I think it's got something to do with the fact that this is 100% raw and authentic, no filter, no need to pretend. I think I talked a little bit more than what we had discussed, but
I think you covered it beautifully. And maybe I just come back to, as you said, like when we started this, like I think it's just good to say that we are both also on our entrepreneurial journeys. So we are building Future Farm with our team whilst we are also each of us building fintech businesses, each of us in a different place. They're in in some ways similar problems that we are trying to solve, but geographies and regions are very different. But the reason why I'm saying that is that the reason why our conversations and the whole sort of Naked and the Future Farm became, I think, also a personal benefit and therapy of sort is because we are on the journey and walking the talk every day. So as we started, when you check in and I sort of really feel that there is a lot happening, I am thinking, what have I learned or heard from others on the Naked that they're doing in those moments? So I think today we'll try to do that as well. Maybe a little bit about why we decided to do the live and sort of what's on, it's not on the agenda, but it is a little bit on the agenda, but what we want to discuss together with Nectarius. So we have founded Future Farm, as Nectarius mentioned, about 2 years ago, right? So when we founded 2 years ago, we started meeting with lots of entrepreneurs, very diverse groups. Those are people who are not necessarily just tech venture entrepreneurs. They're people who are bootstrapping their businesses, but at the same time, there's a big group of entrepreneurs and founders who have their businesses being funded and invested in by investors. When we were looking in those conversations, vulnerable conversations, into what are some of the root causes for people to come into a place of emotional and mental health struggle, one of the reasons that came out nearly from every conversation, correct? Like it was a big thing, was their relationship with investors. So the dynamic between an investor and a founder or an entrepreneur or entrepreneurs became a very obvious place that we wanted to look more deeper into and understand it better. what's happening? Like, why is this becoming a problem or source of issues for entrepreneurs? Where does the pressure comes from? What's the nature of the dynamic? So we started sort of digging into this deeper. And I think we became really curious, but also heavily motivated for the sake of, I would say, the wider entrepreneurial space, but also for two of us, because we are founders and raising investments, to really understand like what's happening, why is it happening, what could be done. So that's sort of one of the major reasons why we also wanted to do this live, to share with you guys and everybody who's listening and watching in what we've observed, sort of listened on our naked conversations, what we experienced as well, and learned from further research. So that's a little bit of why we are here today. And maybe, Nektaris, if you don't mind, I'll start with a question towards you, because we are trying to do this and we always do this also personal. So let's start in that vulnerable place, because I think it just makes the whole conversation more human, really. And that's what we are trying to do. So when you were thinking about sort of getting into this today, right? I'm sure that you're reflecting on your experience and how is your experience related to what we are seeing and hearing from other entrepreneurs? So that dynamic with investors, like what's your experience? What are your, emotions related to this relationship?
Wow, that's a lot more than
I thought. Is it loaded?
No. And we didn't do really introductions, but ultimately we both come from backgrounds that we've been around entrepreneurs and investors for a long time. And the reason it's important is because this conversation is not in isolation from our lives, in the sense of when I think about investors, I'm talking about people that I'm talking to at the moment for raising money, but I'm talking about people who are colleagues, friends, personal friends. And I'm a little bit conflicted to make sometimes general statements, but overall, I think I can address them as communities of sorts. When I was thinking about this, I tried to overlay two separate kind of processes over the last 2 years. Because when we started with the Future Farm, we thought that maybe one way of funding this is go to people who have an ecosystem role or people who have a real desire to help and get them to pay small amounts. We weren't asking for big tickets. And we thought if we get five kind of VCs, for instance, or angels who just put a small check towards this, we can keep the lights on, continue creating the content, grow, et cetera, et cetera. And it was surprising to see how little interest there was. And this sort of tied into the study that we did that you referred to, Vladi, right at the beginning, where we were really not prepared that the majority of investors we've spoken to said, actually, you know what? I don't care about the emotional well-being of entrepreneurs. Now you have this as one data point. And over time, we found a few that are a little bit more curious and forward-thinking, but the majority are still going, maybe COVID triggered them to think a little bit more about this, but still there's an element of what's that to me. Now, in parallel, I started on my personal fundraising journey with my fintech company. And suddenly I'm at that end. And we haven't even raised, we're raising a pre-seed, right? We're not even at a point where other people on the podcast would say, oh, the moment we raised our Series A, it got really hard because suddenly you have your investors breathing down your neck and they've got expectations, blah, blah. We are at a stage where we're talking to people to put their faith in us as a team and give us the first check to build something great. So we're going after investors who are pre-seed investors. And pre-seed investors, usually, if you go on the website, they would always say, team is more important than product. A great team can deliver anything, blah, 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 blah. And you go into these conversations. And when you get rejected, it's really difficult to think, not to think that, well, if the people are important to you and you don't want to give us that money, then you clearly don't like the people. So it's personal. And I'm really struggling with that. The other thing is just that the pressures at the moment is to raise that round to get the business off the ground. And this touches in so many different things because there's dependencies, because it's conflict, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we can start throwing all the things that you experience as a founder. And I know it's a bit of a monologue, but just to share, because we have this relationship. When you said, oh, we closed our round, we're announcing the close of our round today, I was happy for you, but also envious. It's like, I know that you've been trying to do this a lot longer, but it's like, oh, I want to be able to say this, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And there was a thought that came through my mind also, like, because I was so in some way able to imagine sitting in your shoes at that moment. So it's like, how do I share it in a way that it doesn't sort of cause that point of feeling that it's like, I know, you know, it's an enabler. But I think you said two important things that I thought would be nice to unpack, which is one, you shared an experience, and thank you for that, by the way. There was a lot of emotions that I could also relate to from our fundraising process. So just saying, disclaimer, the fact that we announced the close of our seed round today, which obviously makes me proud of the team, especially because they really worked through it, doesn't mean that the, you know, whole experience of fundraising was rosy. Lots of learning from it. And I think also the stage where we are, it just makes me feel about what's coming. And so that's what I want to unpack. So I think what we keep hearing a lot from founders and also between ourselves is that there is a lag, which is around the part of relationship, which is prior I become your partner. So prior I become part of your portfolio, which is fundraising process. And there is some sort of a power dynamic that is happening, right? That we are observing and we are hearing about. And then there is the other leg, which is I'm now part of your family. At the same time, there are elements of our relationship that might be causing, you know, stress for me and pressure. So I would love for us to unpack this a little and maybe just to share some of the experiences also from my side and maybe what we keep hearing from other entrepreneurs. So in the fundraising part, I think what we keep hearing a lot is one is the imposter syndrome and the not feeling good enough. So sitting around the table and I'm just going to share my own experience. So as a woman founder, I enter the room most of the time. There are men sitting on the other side of the table. So I think this is just one fraction of the element, right? Is the identity we bring in. I'm thinking the authenticity of being able to come in with who you are. And I know you have your own experiences, like, you know, with who you are as Nectarius, with all parts of yourself. And we've had this recent conversation with one of our podcast guests who completely felt that there was a conflict of, I cannot really tell you who I am. And it's not like there wasn't anything horrific. It was actually a beautiful part of identity. But most of the feedback from investors was that, oof, you're too different. Like, this is too scary for us to even explore this relationship together. So I think for me, two big things around the fundraising process that were really painful. So one was the part of identity that I am who I am. And I come into the room with my identity. And so how do I maintain that authenticity? And second part was about access, to be honest. Like, I was hustling this, okay? Although I don't like the word hustling because we are trying to get away that, or I'm trying to get this away from my vocabulary. But I was really working hard on building the CRM on investors and reaching out. And I do remember one investor coming back to me. I think I shared this before with you, which says, like, it was a cold call. I reached out to a lot of investors as a cold call. And this investor comes back to me and tells me that, hey, you are an exception that I'm responding to. You should be able to use better your network. Like, the good founders, basically the message was like, the effective, productive, good founders are those who are able to get warm leads, warm intros. And I was like, flabbergasted. That's the word I was. I was shocked, to be honest. I was like, it put me back. I think my self-confidence went low for a moment, but then I also became furious and angry because I was like, that's not the way at all. Like, this pool out there, this relationship should be, and is one of sort of things that keeps driving me to do what we do, is to open this up to anybody. So already that power dynamic, when you get a response like this, was very obvious to me. So that's just, I'm going to pause there, but that was a bit of my personal experience from the fundraising as the first leg of that relationship with investors.
Maybe it's also worth mentioning that we encourage questions. You can always put questions in the chat. on LinkedIn, and our team will relay this with us on the Zoom. It's an interesting one, Vladi, because maybe it's also worth taking a moment to just talk a little bit what it means to have certain mental health experiences when you go through this process of building a business, running a business, right? You mentioned imposter syndrome. It sort of goes hand in hand with an element of loneliness, which we hear a lot about, right? Because you are trying to build something with limited resources. You usually have a co-founder or two. You may or may not be fully aligned with them. So that also causes co-founder conflict. There's all these things that start very, very early on. And especially for first-time entrepreneurs, these are really, really hard things to swallow. The problem that's overlaid with this is there's this narrative that people try to adhere to, which is like the Silicon Valley mindset. You're trying to avoid the word hustling because of that, right? Is that it's just part of the journey. It's hard. It has to be hard. If it's not hard, it's not good, or you're not doing the right job and all this stuff. And people are really crashing and burning even at that stage, or not recognizing the moments where maybe they should just give up because it's affecting their health, it's affecting their relationships, it's affecting their livelihoods. And we really don't talk about this. So one of the things we also wanted quite clearly with the Future Farm is to say, it's okay to walk away from stuff. It's okay to recognize that you're not actually being well. And when you have these conversations with, even with accelerators, and I'm saying explicitly accelerators, because we had this, we started a bootcamp with my old business, we had this hybrid lens, right? We had there was an equity element. So we were actually shareholders in the business that would come into the program. But also we were making introductions to VCs, angels, etc. And one of the reasons I find it really important for me personally to talk about this is because we were part of the problem. People would come into the problem, into the program. And right at the beginning, I thought it was cool because at this moment where I realized, hang on a second, it's a 3-month program. So every day in the accelerator is 1% of the program. So we had a countdown. We had a whiteboard where we write countdown the days from day 100 all the way through to day one, because the pressure cooker and the pressure was supposed to be a good thing.
It's right? Horrific.
And and when you then see people, because you're thinking you're doing a good stuff, right, by giving them a frame in which they can operate better. But then you find out that people don't sleep for days, take substances, have breakups, and their relationships suffer. It's only afterwards, or towards the end of it, I'm thinking, what the F are we doing? When we talk about the dynamic of investors and investor profiles, it's people who have influence over entrepreneurs, and especially early stage first-time founders who very often come into this very naively. So your experience is just one facet of this when people say use your network. And I can see how this is triggering when you're also working very much on diversity and access and inclusion for people.
Oh, absolutely.
Who don't need it, right? But even when you are the stereotypical 25-year-old straight white dude who might have a different kind of privilege, you still fall into this, often with no idea what's coming at you. And you usually don't have permission to say, I'm struggling. And the investors are the last people to go, I understand. Let's take a breather. Not at all.
I mean, you made me think, because when you said that the investors are the last people, so interestingly enough, like the thought in my mind was that actually I do know a few, like, hey, hang on. There are people out there who are, and we know some of them, and I'm sure we don't know all of them, that are trying to be conscious, right? And we'll get into that, like what we've seen from those, what we learned from them, and also what we have researched and, you know, learned from others that could be done to sort of change the status quo. Because I think that's the hopeful part, is that the situation, the dynamic doesn't have to be harmful for one party or the other. Maybe a small experience as well, just to maybe close that one leg in terms of the fundraising, is that the one thing that I really appreciated in my own personal experiences was kindness, which can come in a very small portions. So as an example, I've reached out again, cold calling, to one of very high profile, really globally high profile VCs, never actually expected any answer. I got a beautiful email that probably was already pre-written. I did not care because it was partially personalized and it appreciated me as a founder, as a human being. And it was a small gesture of kindness that made my day, made me hopeful about the relationship and that this can be a partnership. So it's not the end of the day of all days, but I think one more thing is also that we do get asked by investors, and you referred the initial study that we have done 2 years ago. And I remember some of the questions from investors, like, why should we care? And so then we started digging deeper. At first, there wasn't a lot of data. I would love to sort of, I guess, give a shout out to our dear friend, Dr. Michael Friedman, who is one of the pioneers in the space of mental health, of entrepreneurship, who is trying to also raise a lot of awareness and especially put some light into data points. So I don't like business cases, but I think in this case, if there are, and some of you are listening to this and you need a business case to make this a topic that is relevant for your funds and for your maybe limited partners, there are numbers. And one of the numbers is that there's been research that looked on what are the spaces from which entrepreneurs themselves expect more support for their mental health. And it was very interesting statistics because only 13% was directed towards friends and family, which I thought will be actually a place where people expect more support. Then there was 17% which went to health professionals. And the biggest amount, which is about 26% of entrepreneurs, expect more support for their mental health from investors. So I think there's a very clear voice that entrepreneurs do care. This is something that matters to them and that is something that investors should pay attention to. The other side on the business case. So Harvard Business Study find out that about 65% of failed startups are due to people problems, people issues. So issues related to emotional, mental health of founders, issues like co-founder conflict, human-centric matters. So if you have a portfolio of 20 companies, probably 15 of them will not make it. If out of the 15 companies that don't make it, 65%, which is about 9 or 10, I don't have the straight math, don't make it because of people-centric issues that could be prevented or could be addressed, I think the business case is very clear for the performance of the fund. So I'm now going to go back into we should do this because we care about entrepreneurs as humans, as Michael says, and we love that. But it is very clear that for the overall goal of the fund, if you care about your numbers, taking care of the well-being and health of your founders, of our founders, is a massive priority, and it should be part of the trainings, curriculums. And now I think maybe we can get a little bit into what else are we seeing from those that have been looking into this space and understood that it's a priority.
Probably about 18 months ago, we spoke to a very high-profile platform VC, where they have this mindset of offering different kind of support mechanisms to their portfolio companies. So they have technology support, marketing support, growth support, et cetera, et cetera. They also have people support, leadership support, as I call it, which is usually around management training, right? So how can you become a better manager? So we kind of just described what we were doing. And at that stage, we thought maybe there is a space for the Future Farm to be that last missing piece about providing kind of insights and training on mental health. And it was practically a conversation where we listened for 25 minutes of the half hour about all the great stuff that they do to support their founders. And when we went, okay, what about mental health? There was like, yeah, no, we haven't got any money for that. And you go, can you hear yourself? No, and this is in contrast to some of the VCs that we have spoken to who come to us with a curiosity and say, we recognize that we need to do something. We just don't know how or what is the best approach or where is the balance between too much or too little, because we also understand that entrepreneurs are usually particular individuals that don't want to be interfered with. They want to have the freedom. They want to have this concept of ownership and agency. But these are people who generally sit down and think about these things, right? The pandemic has changed it a little bit because entrepreneurs started being more vocal, especially more successful entrepreneurs, started being more vocal on how difficult they found it to deal with these sudden changes in the environment. But there was also a clearer positioning of, hey, VCs, you've done some bad stuff, which is removing term sheets because the pandemic hit, or trying to renegotiate the terms of a deal that you already signed up, even with later stage companies. So suddenly you see more high profile founders going, this isn't working. And you had people who started being more comfortable about leaving their businesses because they couldn't cope with it anymore. I thought the story of Tom Blomfield and Monzo was really interesting, where he had flagged with his investors quite early on that he was struggling, and they still tried to keep him on, tried to give him a slightly different profile because it would have looked bad for the business if he leaves, until he ended up leaving anyway after a while. So having these high profile stories as well, but not in isolation, not, oh, I wasn't feeling well and then I left, but I address this, and people still try to find ways of kind of keeping me because they thought about the business first. And by the way, bloody Michael's phrase is, do you care about entrepreneurs as people? And there is something about that people word that got me when he said to us. So when we had one of our conversations with Michael and we asked him if there's one parting thought he wanted to leave us with, that's what he said. He said, just anytime you talk to somebody who deals with entrepreneurs, just ask yourself the question, do you care about entrepreneurs as people? And the moment you start applying that lens, it changes a lot. But it also kind of filters out the ones who do and the ones who don't, and the ones who start thinking about
it. But it sort of feels like, of course, this should be the answer, right? But then you start questioning yourself, like, okay, what does it actually really mean? And, you know, to the point of the stories, right, that we are seeing from high profile founders. So I feel like I'm seeing still more of the entrepreneurs to opening up the conversations. I don't see enough of conversation being opened up by investors, say, by the way, this is what we are facing. Because in the behind the closed door conversation, you and I know that they do open up to us, like it's a safe space. And many of them say, we faced suicides in our portfolios. So in terms of the founders, we are facing a lot of stigma around the topic, so we don't know how to open the conversation. I just wish that there will be more investors who take that brave, they are brave and they take that, you know, a narrative in their own hands and really make that step, right? And say like, hey, this is what we are facing and this is what we are thinking, and maybe not having the solution. Speaking of solutions, I'm not sure if we have solutions for this, but we do have inspiration from a number of investors, whether those are VCs, angels, corporate VCs, family houses. So I just want to mention a few, because for me personally, that is really bringing the hope and it's inspirational. And already in some of the conversation that I'm having with other investors, I'm trying to bring it in. So just to mention a few, so a few things that might be inspirational for you, for everybody who's listening as well. So bunch of stuff. Again, I think the framing could be prevention and intervention. So what could be done prior, there is something to be taken care of, because we all have mental health and emotional health all the time with us. It's just an embedded part of who we are. So we need to take care of it every day. So one of the things that I personally really love is when investors are trying to figure out how do we open the conversation, and when they send a signal. So whether that means when you have your portfolio events, or you are bringing a portfolio of a company on into your community, into your family, open up the conversation, have it part of the onboarding process, use your events to bring a conversation, a topic around mental health of entrepreneurs. We don't have to make it, I think the nuance is, we don't have to make it immediately personalized, because I think that's when it becomes tricky, right? People become sort of touch and feely, we protect, this is my personal issue. Also, I guess a lot of us are just afraid that it might in some way threaten or endanger that relationship with, again, there's a power dynamic. I mean, you gave me your money, right? You gave me all that trust. I'm going to tell you I'm struggling. I hope that one day we'll be able to get through it. But I think to start with, there are safe ways to bring in the conversation into the light and send the signal, very important signal, to your portfolio companies or to the founders that, one, this matters to us. We care. We are aware that this is an important topic. And hopefully you can also send a message that we are starting to look into different mechanics and tools, how we can support you on this. So that's a big one for me in the prevention side. Maybe, Have you come across? Yeah.
So I was just going to illustrate a little bit what you're describing. So I've been increasingly invited to go and speak at portfolio days at big VCs organized for their companies. And these are often across stages. So, and usually the format is that we talk for about an hour and give people room, create a safe space, but also give people the room to think. And for some people, it's probably the first time they're actually sitting down and thinking about this consciously. And the ritual is very much the same every time. At the end, where there's room for questions or sharing, because there's a small reflection exercise with which we finish, people are being very quiet. And suddenly, one person raises a hand, and that is usually the floodgates. We had one event last year where the session was an hour and the sharing went on for another hour and a half, because suddenly people really needed to talk, and there were tears and there was emotions, and it comes from people you would expect it. So it's really important for us to point out that people underestimate the need to actually just acknowledge that something's up. So on the prevention side, I think it's a good first step. Maybe the other thing on the prevention side is we have investors who have that mindset of not knowing what their role is, but they have like a startup, an experimentation approach. We'll try this, we'll try that, and maybe the timing wasn't right. It's also not a clear-cut thing. It depends on the company ethos. It depends on the willingness of all the partners to participate. It depends on a variety of different things. We did hear one of our VC friends saying, look, I get it. I want to do something about it, but I don't know if my other GP actually even thinks about the subject. So sometimes you need a champion within the fund to actually raise the conversation.
Or absolutely, and open it up. I think that's such an important point, because maybe my point was sort of pre-assuming that, okay, you are on the same page within the fund and you are opening up the conversation confidently towards the founders. I think you pointed a great point, which is that there is a pre-step to it. It's the understanding within the fund, like where we are, how much do we know, how do we feel towards this conversation. And I think that's also what we learned in Future Farm, is that number of investors reached out for, hey, we would like to know more. It is not an easy space to understand or sort of understand what works and how to open such conversations. So we'll talk about it at the end, that there's something that we're trying to experiment with and build within the Future Farm. But maybe just to put a little bit of a sequence to it, do find out what is the status quo or what is the situation in your respective funds and communities, or just for yourself, if you're an angel investor. I think that's a brilliant question to ask yourself. Like, how do I sort of care, or how do I manifest this in my relationship and the dynamic with the founders that I support? And then the second part is, how do we open this conversation with our founders prior something really happens? Now, there are a few other things which I think can sort of, they could fit both boxes, the prevention and also intervention. I wanted to highlight what we used to call at the VC that I sort of worked with, Anthemis, which was Founders Anonymous. And I'm mentioning it because I love the concept. And again, I was very proud of the fact that we experimented with it, which was creating a safe space for entrepreneurs to come together within your portfolio, having none of the investment professionals within it. So keep the distance, keep the separation, have only the founders. Potentially, you might want to bring in a coach or a therapist, somebody who can facilitate the session. And really, the session is nothing about business. It is very much about your portfolio founders to be able to connect as people, share their experiences, what they're going through. I've been able to sit on those sessions because I was still more in the space of facilitator and a coach at that time. And it was very powerful. I remember lots of tears. They were primarily coming from the most experienced entrepreneurs, the serial founders who were saying that if I could change one thing, although there were no regrets necessarily, but when they were reflecting, they said, I would certainly put my self-care much more at the top of the priorities, like higher the priorities than what I did. And interestingly enough, the early stage entrepreneurs were rejecting. They were saying, hey, Vladi, why are we even looking at this? Like, it's too early. It's distracting me. But over time, I think they've seen the value. So my point is peer groups, create a safe space, get them together, get them sharing. Many of the entrepreneurs might not know that actually speaking to another entrepreneur can be very, very comforting, the same way as you and I do. I mean, we do that sort of counseling and soundboard safe space to each other. So I really do like peer groups, and I've seen them sort of being quite an effective tool to support the well-being of founders.
I'm mindful of time, Vladi. We should also think about slowly wrapping up. Maybe this is a good moment to refer to resources. Some of the things we discuss here, you can find links to on our website at thefuturefarm.co. We spoke to Noah Matz, an Israeli VC, who is a psychologist who joined the fund as a partner, which was also quite unique. And Noah has started working on a playbook, which is about how to engage with startups in the first place when you onboard them, how to communicate with them, how do you communicate your values and what matters. So different people are trying different things, and usually they're very open to share because they think the more people do this, the better. So there is also hopefully a mindset of we're learning together and we're developing something that can be used maybe in a more global way by different profiles and different individuals.
Maybe on that note, Nectaris, just to sort of close it and wrap it up, is that we are also here. We are available. I mean, as we said at the beginning, we are building Future Farm because we care, and it's something that we sort of feel it's super important for all of us collectively to address. What I mean by that is do reach out. You can catch Nectaris at nectarius@thefuturefarm.co, myself at Vladi@thefuturefarm.co. Do write to us. I mean, we take this pretty seriously. Founders write to us, investors a little less, unless in feedback to some of our investor episodes. Whether you also know somebody who might enjoy this, please point them to the Future Farm, to the Naked, or to just reach out to us, and we love to learn about your experience. We are happy to share, as Nectaris has mentioned, some of the resources that are also on our website. So engage, be in touch. This, again, is not something we are doing for a business. We are running this because, again, we care, and we would love to talk to you. I mean, we will not solve this alone, only together. So that's there. And there is a teaser. Do you want to share just maybe a line or two about our teaser, what we are building?
Oh, it's not a teaser. We can be quite explicit about this. Our way of dealing with this was we're sharing the stories of the founders on the one end. On the other side, we realized after talking to a lot of investors that they actually very often just don't know. And there's a real need for education. So we launched a masterclass, which is called the Compassionate Investor Masterclass, that is built to actually bring people up to speed with what's happening so they can start thinking about what their options are and how they want to take this back to the fund. This is commercial, so we're charging for it because we want to also make sure that we can continue doing what we're doing. And we want you to think about if you know somebody might benefit from it, to register. It's all available on thefuturefarm.co. And again, we can have more information available if needed.
Well, I think that's probably it for our very first Naked Life. Well, thank you everybody that you have joined us. And it was lovely to see you, Nectaris, and talk about this topic, which I think we are, again, both of us having quite living experience right now. Like, it's quite present in our lives. So I think this is to be continued, really. And can't wait to hear from you guys. I mean, in all the ways that we mentioned. So you take care of yourself. Nectaris, also yourself. Have a good rest of the day. And I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. You.
Ciao. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Naked by The Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.